Welcome to Ubuntu Radio. This is your host, Aronde Ash. Today, I'm continuing a conversation I had with my friend, Chucky Brown. We actually began this conversation about a month ago, right after the Parkland, Florida shooting, right before the NBA All-Star game. We talked about gun control, and that whole conversation is on episode 57 of Ubuntu Radio. Later that morning, we discussed basketball, because Mr. Brown is a former NBA player, world champion with the Houston Rockets. We sort of talked about the NBA midseason, who's doing well, who's not doing well, who he thinks is going to win the championship. We talked about the state of the NCAA, allegations of impropriety at major basketball programs. We talked about the upcoming March Madness and what the NCAA really should be doing for student athletes. We talked about Black Panther, probably the biggest thing going on in the culture right now. He's seen it a couple of times, I've seen it a couple of times. What the movie meant to us as black men. If you enjoy, be sure to subscribe to Ubuntu Radio on Podomatic and on iTunes and let your friends know so we can keep this thing going. Enjoy. Keep it moving. That's the heavy topic. We're gonna keep it moving again. I appreciate you coming by today to talk about this. This is one of the things I wanted to get your opinion on. But also, you're a former athlete, still an athlete now, professional athlete in this country. All-Star game, you were in the NBA. All-Star game was last year. First of all, what do you think of the new format?
I mean, it's cool. It's cool. I just think that, you know, the All-Star starters, how they've been doing it as far as like the fans. We're picking, it was more like a popularity contest. I think that let the players pick who should be All-Stars. But this way of choosing, okay, I'm going to choose this guy. I mean, it can become sort of a friend thing, because I honestly believe, like, one guy, what's the kid for the Clippers? Lou Williams.
Right.
Lou Williams could have been an All-Star this year. Past years, you know, he'd been coming off the bench. But this year, Lou Williams has been doing his thing. You know, it becomes a, you know, who likes who. And it's a couple of years where Damian
Lillard.
He wasn't, you know, an All-Star. I just think that if you're playing against him, you know, like, yo, this dude right here is tough. He should be an All-Star, you know. So I think the peers should more so select, you know. But I think they're trying to add a little more drama to it, which...
Did you enjoy the game, though?
I didn't watch the All-Star game. Well, I think I might have went to the movies or something. I'm not sure.
Black Panther got that Black Panther in.
I've got Black Panther.
So we gonna talk about that too.
Okay, all right. You know, I do like the format where, you know, the winning team is gonna get more of a bonus, you know, because you want, you know, fans pay a lot of money to come to those games, so you want them guys playing hard. You don't want to just come and see dudes throwing it off the backboard between their legs all game, and then the last 5 minutes they're going to play.
Right.
You don't want to do that. I do like that part to get the guys to play harder. But even like, you know, Jimmy Butler took himself out. He was like, yo, y'all go ahead.
Rumor is that Jimmy Butler was getting enjoying the weekend.
Probably.
Have you ever been out there?
I've been to All-Star.
So give us Skinny Man. What's it like? Because it seems like the players, because you always see the NBA Cares ads, right. So it looks like they spend like at least a couple hours that first day doing some sort of community project.
Right.
But then what's it like, man? What's the rest of it like? Let the games begin.
The NBA All-Stars, yeah, they go around and do, you know, little community things and stuff like that, but you're going to do that so long. You know, the eighth graders ain't up at 2 in the morning, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's party after party after party that you hit up. You know, you run into something if you run into it. You know what I mean? So
but my thing is that there are some NBA catchers around. They make it a point to get out there for those weekends.
Yes.
And they are ready to get caught.
Yes.
So that's there more than at any other at any other point.
Yes. Yeah, so you have the groupie, you know, you have those during the year, but they're really out there All-Star Weekend because they know there are a lot of dudes out there, a lot of former dudes out there, that, you know, so they can get chose, you know, by somebody to have a story to tell. So it's a fun weekend. I mean, if that's what you into, if that's not necessarily what you into. Like when I went, I basically went to the Players Association party. Just hung out there with some old guys and just talked and laughed about, you know, when we played against each other. But you can just basically party hop. You know, I heard about this weekend. They told me about Kenny Smith's party was probably the best party of, you know, of all of them. I guess he's partnered with the Players Union because the Players Union doesn't do their party anymore. You know, Michael Jordan had his party and so-and-so had their party. But, you know, L.A. already got a whole lot going on.
Right.
So you ain't really not necessarily got to hit those parties. You hit another party.
It's a regular Saturday night in L.A.
It's a regular Saturday night in L.A. So, you know, but I heard it was a fun time. I heard everybody had a good time. Top our thing, we adapt to change. Fame, fortune, and material gain. Flow stay natural, unrestrained. Let me explain. Don't get it till you set it aflame. Subject them to pain. Make them respect the name that set you rep. Connect, you play. Stay ready to bang. Let's get some midseason awards here. Who's your MVP midseason? MVP midseason, man. I mean, I gotta go with the consistency is James Harden. I think he's been consistent. They're winning. You know, they got the top spot right now in the West. So my mid-season MVP is going with James Harden.
I put up a picture 3 weeks ago because at night I come from practice. I'm a soccer coach. I come from practice. I eat something. I pull up YouTube. I don't watch NBA too much because I'm tired, but I'll watch highlights. Mm-hmm. And I said James Harden is basically the best offensive player in the NBA the last 3 years. Yeah. People were giving me stick about that. I said, look at the numbers and look at the video. The dude makes it look so easy. They always talk about the transition from college to professional sports. Right. And even once you, from rookie to probably your third year, that you really get it. And the first thing athletes say is the game slows down.
Mm-hmm.
James Harden looks like he's playing at 2 miles an hour because he sees
everything.
Everything. Yeah. LeBron still feels to me like he's rushing around. Right. As great as LeBron is, and this is the consistent thing athletes say. So I look at James Harden and I go, this dude can get any shot he wants, anytime he wants. LBJ does not have a jump shot like James Harden. He doesn't have the range of James Harden.
No.
And the passes this man makes out of their sets is ridiculous. And I'll watch a highlight, and I think I take it for granted how easy it is for him to score. Then I look at the thing at the end, dude has 38, 10. And I'm going, where did he get this? And I know he gets fouled a lot. So like last couple of years,
he gets it a lot.
Like 33% of his points have been on free throw. But he still had to create those.
Right.
So what do you think of this thing where people say, nah, it's Steph, it's KD, it's LeBron. James Harden, for me, the last 3 years, just watching him and the speed at which he plays, and as an athlete, you know this, you move like that when you understand everything that's going on. Now, people knock his defense, and I get it. Right now, he would be your MVP.
Right.
Because his team is performing, he's got some help with Chris Paul.
Mm-hmm.
But just regardless of that, I'd look at this guy and go, you're on another level.
Mm-hmm.
You're on a completely other level.
Right, I totally agree. He is probably, the last 3 years, the best offensive player in the league. I think what people are hanging on to and why people don't want to give him his credit is because I think it was last year he kind of faded out in that last game.
Tired, man, tired.
He was tired, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, he had to be tired. And I know people say, well, he make all that money, you know, he can't be getting tired. That's a bunch of bull. But anyway, I think that a lot of people are hanging on to that because he struggled and he looked, you know, he just looked, you know, mentally and physically worn down, you know, which can happen. So I think that a lot of people hold on to that, and that's why they don't want to give him his credit. But really, you know, as far as like the MVP voting right now, I mean, it's really not even close, even though, you know, LeBron, of course, has had a really phenomenal year. But Cleveland has struggled. They've struggled and had to make so many changes. Houston ain't made no changes.
Not-
You know what I'm saying? I'm not aware of anything that's happened there. And they've had injuries. You know, Chris Paul has missed quite a few games. Eric Gordon has missed quite a few games. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Trevor Ariza had to miss those games because of the fight with the Clipper thing. So, the MVP ballot is not even close to me.
Who's your second? Who's up there right now with him?
Secondly... I mean, I guess it's hard to push LeBron lower than two or three. Mm-hmm. I just think that, you know, I still think he's the best player in the league. You know, he's asked to do a lot. He does a lot. But I would have to go with LeBron and the kid from Milwaukee.
Giannis.
Yeah. And
he started off hot, man, but something happened.
He's fizzled out a little. He probably got a little tired because he's had to do a lot.
You know? Everything.
Yeah, so he's doing, like, he's ball handling now and doing everything. So he's probably, you know, fizzled out a little bit. But I would say those two, probably mid-season, LeBron and then Antetokounmpo. You know, the reason why I don't have, you know, KD or Steph up there is because they've really got a lot of guys around them. These guys don't have the help. You know, I mean, yeah, James Harden has Chris Paul, but that's really, you know, all those other guys are role players. You know, LeBron basically has a bunch of role players. He had an old group with Dwayne Wade and Derrick. Them dudes are old, done, pretty much.
What was your opinion when that team was first constructed? Like, I remember when we had our conversation,
right,
we talked about Dennis Smith.
Right.
And you brought up a point that Dennis Smith being a rookie, that he might not shine in Dallas because there might be vets around him who are like, Dennis, give me the fucking ball, dude.
Right.
You know, I got to get my numbers. I'm in a contract here, all that stuff. But he's still shining.
Right.
So when it first happened, did you kind of foresee what was happening in Cleveland? Because as a veteran, you go, man, those dudes are old. They're not going to move their legs. Or was it a surprise to you how it played out?
No, I felt like that team, because of the way it was constructed, was more built for the playoffs. Older teams tend to do better when there's a day or two in between games. They don't do well on back-to-back games like a young guy, because your body's older, you don't recover as fast. So I figured Cleveland would struggle a little bit. I didn't see them as, you know, winning the East. I thought maybe they'd finish around three or four, and then once they get in the playoffs,
turn it on,
they'd be a big problem. Mm-hmm. Just like that team that Chicago had last year before Rondo got hurt. That was a team that was built for the playoffs. You know, like the San Antonio Spurs are usually built for the playoffs, but they win during the regular season too. But they're also built for the playoffs because they got those older guys. They know how to play, and you know, you give it all you got that one night because you know you got the next day to rest, or even the next 2 days to rest. Then you play again. Then you give it all you got again. I was surprised that they kind of made all the moves that they did, but they needed to make those moves to get younger. They didn't have enough young guys.
Oh my God.
And they needed young guys, and that's what they did. So that was good. That was a good move on their part.
I make the city move. I do. I make the city move. I do. Look, give me the ball and I won't have to pass it. I ain't passing out till I'm asthmatic. Wow. I take a play and then I back to back and hit after hit, check the batting average. Check. I take the work, flip it acrobatic. Got a little time and a lot of talent. Do a little talking and a lot of action. Seen the competition, not a challenge.
When the national televised games would come on, Jeff Van Gundy would say, Cleveland is a great team. I'm going, what are you looking at? There's no movement. Right. There's no team basketball. It's just, JR, 5 seconds left. Hope you do something.
Right.
There's no team. And again, I'm not a basketball person, so you can address this more than me. There's no team dynamic. In Houston, I see some sort of team offense. And in the second quarter, Chris Paul goes out and it's like, James, get your numbers. It looks like that. In Golden State, obviously, the most beautiful thing I've seen is pick, double pick, triple, whatever. In Cleveland, there's nothing. It's just, LeBron, I hope you do something, and you guys will stay out there. But my point in saying that is, I watch them now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like night and day, just the young guys. Even Jordan Clarkson, I think, is really underrated, man. When he came off the bench for the Lakers, that man was taking, maybe he might have been missing shots, but he was taking shots at the right time.
Right.
He was taking open shots, something that Lonzo Ball, well, he's too afraid to do right now, to be honest with you. But I watch Cleveland now. I think Jordan Clarkson's going to help him.
Oh,
I feel bad for Jose Calderon. Jose Calderon was making buckets, was making three-point shots. All you need to do is bring the ball as a PG in the league for Cleveland. Bring the ball past half court, give it to LeBron, let him do something else.
Right.
And let the other 14 seconds of the clock. So I think Jose Calderon was getting a bad shape, but Jordan Clarkson's going to help them. Lance is going to help them.
Yep.
And I see not just ball movement, but just bodies moving, man.
Ball movement, man movement.
Bodies moving. So people go, Cleveland is a great offense. No, they were not. Right. And their defense was terrible.
It was terrible.
Even last year, I watched games and the games I watched with Cleveland, I rarely saw them elevate their offense, put in a good defensive effort, and they were winning by, like, blowing out. I never saw that consistency.
Right.
So as a coach, at any level, I want to see that. I want to see us do great offense.
Right.
But I don't want, like, a soccer game to be 6-5. I don't want a game to be 7-4. I want you to throw effort and energy, because, like, I think you addressed this. I can count on effort and energy all the time.
That's right.
I can't count on JR hitting the three. No. I can't count on Klay Thompson going for 39 in the third quarter every night. I can't count on that, but I can count on you running, hustling,
playing hard.
Yep. So with young legs, I think Cleveland has a chance to do that. Now, they may not be all NBA defensive players, but at least they have the legs to get in people's way.
Right.
And maybe the best thing for LeBron is just to have a bunch of role players around him and you do your thing.
That's right.
And George Hill, one of the first things he said when he came, he said, "Man, we're a bunch of Robins.
That's it.
There's a Batman.
That's it.
We're a bunch of Robins.
They accept their role.
They accept their role. So do you subscribe to that theory that the best teams that come out of the end are the teams which have maybe one or two guys, superstars, and then everybody accepts their role? If you follow that theory, Houston probably has a good chance of winning it this year.
Believe in that theory. I know when I was in Houston, we had Clyde and the King. Everybody else was role playing, and we all knew our role. I was going to be looked at to play defense, get rebounds, and I was going to get probably 5 shots. So I had to go 3-for-5. That was just my thinking. I had to go 3-for-5, and I had
five plays for you, or five situations where you might get a rebound, and the coach is not going to kill you for putting the ball back up.
I got no plays. The only play that I got was out of a timeout. We used to run a play called Step Up with Clyde and I. If I was on the floor and there was a timeout, Rudy T would say, "All right, we're going to run Step Up because me and Clyde win the game." So that would be the only time I got my play. So I knew that, okay, I got to make my shot, or you know, get my layup, whatever it is, I got to finish it. But no, I never had plays ran for me. I was fine with that because I just wanted to play.
Right.
If I make a big stink about having plays ran for me, you know, they can find somebody else to get it. I'm out. So I know I want to be on the floor too. So whatever Dream and Clyde asked of me, whatever Rudy asked of me, I did it. Robert Horry, Sam Cassell, Kenny Smith, Mario Elie, Charles Jones, we all knew our roles, and I think that's why we were successful, because we went up against teams, you know, the first round, we went up against Utah, with Karl Malone and John Stockton. They had Byron Russell, they had a guy named David Benoit, they had Big Mark Eaton. If you looked at them from top to bottom, they probably were a better team, or better names. You know, the next round we play Phoenix, you know, with Charles Barkley, Kevin Johnson, A.C. Green, Dan Marley. I'm trying to think who else was on that team. Utah also had Jeff Hornacek, too. But, you know, if you go down that list, if you list them, you say, oh, man, Houston ain't going to beat them. You know, they only got Hakeem and Drexler, basically. But we all knew our roles. We covered for each other. We trusted one another on defense. That's another big thing. You have to trust one another on defense. So I think that the Rockets, yes, if they can, you know, continue to play together like they're playing, they have a chance, because they can go point for point, bucket for bucket with Golden State. You know what I'm saying? They've got perimeter people. You know, another team that's scary for Golden State is Oklahoma City. Because Oklahoma City has the perimeter guys. They've got, you know, Melo, they've got Paul George, and they've got Russell Westbrook. They can match up on the perimeter. Then you got Steven Adams.
To me, he's most improved player.
Oh, he's a monster.
He's the most improved player.
So Oklahoma City can match up better with Golden State than they do with Houston. I don't think Oklahoma City can beat Houston, but I think they can beat Golden State. And I think Houston can beat both of them.
Get to January in the NBA.
Right.
Is it just, man, let's just get through this month. And let me, because the All-Star, it's just 5 days.
Right.
It's not even a week.
Right.
The last game ends like on a Wednesday or Thursday,
uh-huh.
and you're back playing the next Wednesday.
Right.
But it seems like summer vacation for right. people, the way the NBA players talk about it. It's right. like, oh they my God, that. I yes. get a chance to just get away.
Yes, you need that because it's constantly basketball. Everybody needs a opportunity to get away from it, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? So I can remember like All-Star breaks when I played, I came home. It didn't no matter where I was.
I came
back home to North Carolina.
So no Cabo, no banana boat with the boys. No.
I wanted to get away. I wanted to get back home and just chill, you know, in my spot.
Sleep.
Just rest. Just, you know, it wasn't no hanging out there. The boys come over. We watch, you know, some of the All-Star festivities, but that's it. I didn't need to be there, around it, or none of that. It was just, you need that break. For a lot of guys, you know, if you don't see them at the All-Star game, you know, it's good to get away. It's good to get away and be away from it. Then when you come back, you refresh, recharge. All right, we got how many? We got 39 left. All right, let's get these 39. Let's see what's going to happen. You know, so you're more energized and it feels more like the beginning of the year.
Well, last question, and then if you have some time, I'd love to talk about the NCAA.
Okay.
Who's holding the Larry O'Brien come June, man?
I think it's hard to not consider the Warriors, you know, but they have played a lot of basketball.
They look tired, man.
Yeah.
Defensively.
I mean, I think it's wide open. If I have to pick somebody, I'm going to
go. Uh-oh, Homer.
I'm going to go with
Homer.
I'm going to be a Homer.
What's the guy? What's the guy who's the president there? He's a genius now because he's doing analytics. Who's the owner of the Rockets?
You're talking about Daryl Morey.
There you go.
Yeah, Daryl Morey.
Bring him back. He's calling your team out. He's holding y'all up. The Rockets steal.
I didn't text Daryl.
Rockets steal.
I'm going to go with the Rockets, just because of the way they're playing. I don't think that James Harden will get tired this time. I just think the Warriors have played a lot of basketball. They've been to 3 straight right. finals. And, you know, that's a whole lot of basketball, a whole lot of wear and tear on your body. And, you know, and the run has to come to an end at some time.
Even more impressive individually with LeBron, as much as people hate him.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
7?
Straight.
Straight?
Straight. Straight.
Niggas fighting over rings, niggas won't be the game, but long little cheat. For a little old thing, little boys bang bang. Long little cheat. Niggas fighting over rings, niggas won't be the game, but long little cheat.
And then he's working out, he shows you the workouts on the videos, whatever he does.
And no big drop in numbers?
Nope. It's gotta come down. But I mean, he's what, 16th season? I mean, he's played a lot of basketball.
Plus Team USA with the Olympics and all that stuff.
A lot of basketball.
People don't give him the credit. Just on the number of basketball games and being able to stay
right.
statistically at a all-time legend level.
You can either leave, follow, or get out the way. Make a fucking move, it will make my fucking day. Got a 100-year plan, you just think about the day. Always been about time, more than been about pay. Y'all run with me, Usain could've run with me. Chief come to find you, you don't come for me. At best, you could run a little company. Nigga, at worst, I could run the whole country. That's right.
I did want to address this.
Okay.
NCAA allegations came out.
Mm-hmm.
FBI probe, obviously Patino gone at Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
And now major teams, I think Michigan State, North Carolina, Duke, and others have been implicated. I mean, they're not directly tied, but somehow money goes from one person to a player. And then all of a sudden that player ends up at this school
right.
where there's the same shoe contract as their AAU team, blah, blah, blah. Right. Maybe AAU guy gets an assistant coach. So you've been through this
mm-hmm.
as a player,
mm-hmm.
as a coach, as a pro. Like, for example, with Louisville, they stripped right. Louisville of the banners.
Right.
They stripped the banners for the Fab Five in Michigan. What the fuck does that do?
I don't think it does nothing. You know, what's done is done.
Right.
I don't see why they want to take the banners down because, You know, you'll look it up 10 years from now, or people that don't know, and they'll see that, you know, this team won the national championship, but it was taken away because of violations. They still won the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally disagree with taking away the banners, but I also disagree with punishing the kids that are there now.
Right.
Because they had nothing to do with that. It happened to be like anything else. Hey, it happened. We didn't catch it. Move on. You know what I'm saying? That most of the time you want to move on? Okay, move on. We got to watch better. We got to do this better. You know, learn what you got to get better at. You know, you made a mistake. You didn't catch such and such thing. So, you know, you got to move on. It's taking the banner thing down. I mean, now you're going to strip Patino of those wins. I totally disagree with that. You know, not that I agree with, you know, what was going on there. I do think that somebody knew something.
Right.
You know, there's no way that you don't
know. The head coach and you don't know?
So there's something. I mean, you know, Rick Pitino was doing his own little thing, too. You know, he was in the restaurant with the strength coach's fiance or whatever, you know, banging her out.
Gutter.
You know what I'm saying?
Gutter.
Can't tell me that you didn't know that this stuff was going on. But I disagree with taking down of the banners and stuff like that. I disagree with that.
To your point exactly, you look at some of the slicker coaches, the mm-hmm. nicer coaches who come off and can play the media, mm-hmm. the Rick Pitinos, the Calipari's, the whatever, and somebody was making not the assumption, like somebody in the know was saying, without saying it, it's really those guys that when all the facts come out,
mm-hmm.
have the most to hide because they have to present this front to the media. So do you think it starts at the coaching level? If you're morally corrupt, which mm-hmm. seems like, dude, mm-hmm. if you're banging your strength coach's wife, there's something freaking wrong with your sense of what is right and wrong. And then that just filters
down
yes. to the place. For example, I think when we last talked, like I mentioned watching Bob Huggins' Cincinnati Bearcat teams, like when they made that run with Nick Van Exel, mm-hmm. I think they made the Final Four.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at those dudes, and Bob Huggins has a history of getting JUCO guys. He doesn't build freshmen up. He
right.
doesn't.
Right.
He goes, and then he gets JUCO guys, and then big black man. I'm looking at these guys, and I don't want to be one of those people hating on my own people. But I look at Bob Huggins' mm-hmm. people that he puts on the floor. I'm going, y'all ain't graduating.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can just look at a right. dude and go, right. you ain't going to class.
Right.
I know that. You are not going to class. You right. you are not. So if we start with the coach, right. is it the coach's responsibility to set this tone? And are we saying that most of them ain't doing it? So when the players come out mm-hmm. and something happens, like, what do you expect?
I think it's up to the athletic director, really, to set the tone for what needs to be done and stay on the coaches that if you see something that ain't right, if you hear something that ain't right, you need to address it. But it starts with I think it starts with the athletic director technically, but you're right. It has to be with the coach because the coach is around the players more than the athletic mm-hmm. director is. So the coach has to be like that role model. When I was in school, Valvano was constantly drilling in us, we got to graduate. You can't come here and waste this opportunity because if you don't graduate, you're going to be cooking burgers somewhere and people going to remember you played. They go, yeah, hey, you Tucky Brown, right? You know, you played.
Give me some fries, though.
Yeah, give me some fries, though. You know what I'm saying? I know I'm good enough. I'm I better get up, when I'm slipping, I'm falling, I gotta get up. Use that money for motivation. Them same ones that came up with me head time. With money talking, it can change the conversation. They'd rather see me like the shackles, watch me take off. I'm dedicated, but I'm running out of patience.
I have a cousin who went to NC State, and he's crazy about NC State. He'll drive anywhere to watch NC State play. But for the last 5 years, I've been telling him, and again, no disrespect to my own university, but we would get these five-star recruits, and I'm going, we're not a five-star program. I'm sorry.
Right.
People don't think of us in the same breath. I'm talking recruits and parents as right. Duke, as North Carolina. And then we got Dennis Smith. We got a couple people before that. I'm telling my cousin, I'm going, something going on. And then you hear these, like, internal things happening in the locker room. My right. first thought, and again, I was not on that level, but I was an assistant coach at the university. And I'm going, I know the culture of a locker room. I've been in sports all my life. If the head is corrupt,
right.
the players go, why the fuck am I doing anything? Because I see the way you're treating the special people on the team and right. you're not treating us the same way, or I know what's really going on.
Right.
Or the fact that dude leaves before all this stuff comes out. Come on, man.
Right.
I mean, I've been saying this to my cousin for years. I'm going, something ain't right,
right.
at our program. we're developing, but something is going on. Did you get any sense of it? Because we're not Duke, we're not Carolina, right. We don't get those kids. And all of a sudden we're getting them?
How? Right, you always think that for me, you know, I talk about it with my friends all the time, and we talk, there's no clean program. All of them are foul, and they're all doing something. Somebody just knows how to do it a little better than others. You know, the ones that don't get caught, they know how to cheat. You know, so you always know that student that never got caught cheating, but you know they was cheating. We're in an age where NCAA March Madness making close to $1 billion. Whenever you have that much money involved, you know, with the money comes corruption. I don't think there are any clean programs out there other than, you know, you have the programs like the Campbells and the UNC Ashfields. They're not going to cheat.
But the risk is not. But right. They're not playing at a...
Right.
Risking a whole lot.
Right, but then when you have these big-time major programs like the Kansas, the Duke, the Carolina, you know, those big conference programs that are on TV all the time. I mean, you know, you want... All the power conferences want the best players. You're not going to be able to get the best players by being squeaky clean. Let's be honest. I don't think Duke is squeaky clean. I don't think Carolina's squeaky clean. I'm an NC State guy, and you know, NC State ain't squeaky clean. I think they all do their dirt in different ways, right. But they're doing dirt everywhere.
Get the wrong idea, my ego's getting bigger with every song I hear, cause y'all been... So the issue always comes down to money, mm-hmm. When it comes to, and let's be honest, we're just talking about football and basketball,
right.
At this high power conference level, so it's time to just start paying the damn players so they don't have to take $37,000 from some right. Scrupulous agent or from some third party sports management agency when they're in high school. If I'm helping make the NCAA $1 billion in a month and multiple billions of dollars throughout the season from November to March, and I stay for 3 years, I want money in my bank account. Maybe I don't access it, but if I'm on track to graduate, because they always talk about that stuff, but if I'm on track to graduate, when I leave MBA
right.
Or with my degree, I'm taking that money out because I help make. Do you think that's part of it? That's a solution?
I think that's definitely a solution. I've suggested this, you know, years ago that, you know, maybe what they should do is each year put money in an account for these kids, because most of the kids that play basketball, let's be honest, that play basketball, that play football, are from these poor, urban or rural, they're mostly poor kids, mm-hmm. That they get. I've been saying that you'll put some money in an account, and the way to get that money would be to graduate.
Right.
Now, some kids, they sign a lucrative, number one draft, Bradley Chubb, you know, may decide, hey, I don't need that money. I'm third pick in the NFL draft. So
give that money to somebody else.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? He had an opportunity to decide whether he wants it or if he wants to go ahead and give to somebody else. But that should be there for them. And just in case, you know, you have a guy that, you know, may have been a projected draft pick that didn't make it, that wants to come back to school, get his degree, now you have an opportunity get off to a head start.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just little things that you know they can do, but they don't want to do. You know, but yet, you know, basketball and football are the ones that they seem to put the most, you know, restrictions on, but yet they're the ones that make the most money for the schools. You know, I'm just really not understanding that. Switch it one time.
Last thing is you gotta go. Black Panther, man. Black Panther, my bro. Wakanda forever. You seen it, right? I've seen it twice at the movie theaters and a couple times online.
Okay.
But I've seen it. Don't let Ryan.
You should support it.
Ryan Coogler, I'm sorry, but yes, twice.
You supported twice
in the theaters.
That's good. So you can watch it online.
I get a pass. So I've seen it twice. Let's unfold this thing, dude. I mean,
okay.
And I'm a movie buff. Right. I went to NC State for communications. I love movies. I love TV. I love visual representation, man. Mm-hmm. So, are you a movie fan?
I'm a movie buff all
day. So then talk about it, man. Okay. What did you go with your family? Did you go with your daughters? Did you go by yourself? Or?
I took my 14-year-old daughter, who was really into the Marvel comic books. See, I was into Marvel comic books, but, you know, I'd heard of Black Panther, but never seen him. You know, say I was Spider-Man, Silver Surfer, and, you know, stuff like that. But I never, like you watch Do the Right Thing, and, you know, they say, Black Panther eat pizza, we eat pizza. You know what I'm saying? So they talk, you know, you hear about Black Panther, but never saw him.
I gotta go back and see that line.
When Bugging Out goes up to him saying I'm organizing a boycott of Sal's favorite, then Martin said, you crazy, man, good as them motherfucking pieces in. And then the one dude he says, Black Panther eat pizza, we eat pizza. Right. Yeah, you gotta go check it out.
I gotta go back.
And then, you know, there's another part in there where the dude, when they step on the dude's shoe, and then he said, the Black Panther will whoop his ass, you know?
They did about Larry Bird when the guy's
dead. Yeah, Larry yeah. Bird, so he said, Black Panther will whoop his ass. Okay. So, but you know, you heard about Black Panther, but never saw him. So, you know, I was really interested to see how it was going to be done with the all black cast. Right. And, you know, I heard all this. So, you know, I picked my daughter up. We went, you know, 3:15 right after school. We went.
Right.
A lot of people in there, but it wasn't packed, so we could pick our own seats. So, you know, I'm sitting there watching it. I really got into it, and it was some parts that really made me think, like, wow, you know, like coming to the end.
Hold on. So I got to do this. I see people doing this on podcasts and on YouTube videos.
Okay.
For anybody who hasn't seen the movie.
Oh, what's up?
No. We're going to talk about it. Anybody who hasn't seen the movie, if you haven't seen it yet.
Cut it off.
You're one of the few people in the world who hasn't already, in America who hasn't.
Stop.
But spoiler alert. Okay, go ahead. We're going to talk about this.
Yeah, okay.
We're going to talk about this.
The part that, you know, it really, like, grabbed me, and I'm going to go see it again this weekend. As a matter of fact, I'm taking my wife. And my
I might go back for a third time, too.
I'm going to see it again. So, but... When Michael, what's his name?
B. Jordan, Killmonger.
Michael B. Jordan, yes. When he said, old boy said he could save him or whatever, and he was like, for what? So you could have me and change? Right. You know, I'd rather die. You know, throw me in the ocean, I'd rather die than be in chains or whatever.
Throw me away like you did my, basically like you did the people coming across in the middle.
Right.
I'd rather die at sea than live in bondage.
And that was like, wow, that to me was a deep line, and I liked how it was like black people controlled everything.
Hell yeah!
You know, I
kind of forever, baby.
And when the one time where the white guy was trying to say something, and they just basically told him to shut up. Yeah.
You do not speak here.
You do not speak. You know what I'm saying? So that made you, you know, you feel good. And, you know, for people that know a little bit about our history, I mean, you know, we basically, you know, were in charge until you got tricked, you know. And then I read something where Michael B. Jordan, they were working on a Mensa Musa movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm interested to see if that ever comes.
People who don't know, is the richest man in the world.
Yes.
Richest man in the history of the universe, to be honest with you.
Yep.
But, yeah, man, the first time, honestly, my first reaction the first time I saw it was, one, and I hate to say it this way, but it's like, they let us get away with saying, did they know?
Did they know
what we're really saying here? That's the first thing I thought.
That's when I hit him with a little Puerto Rican judo. Oh, you don't know what that is. That's when I say, you don't know who got this thing.
And you don't know.
Your guns is hand me down.
And you don't know.
We'll put you where you can't be found.
And you don't know.
You better toughen up.
Cause you don't know.
Homeboy will rough you up.
And you don't know.
Baby, we don't need you. And when it come to Jimmy, my name's me too.
Again, it's fiction.
Right.
If an African country was allowed to use the resources that are rich in that continent,
yeah,
and take it as far as it can possibly go. If we were,
mm-hmm,
just given the opportunity,
yeah,
to develop like anybody else, like just to make a quick side note, like Haiti.
Right.
When I was growing up in New York City, like you talk and say you're Haitian or Haitians, like, I'm Haitians. Haitians, right, are terrible. I didn't know that Haiti was the richest colony in the world. It was the most precious piece of real estate in the world for a long, long time. And when Haitians revolted and gained their independence, the first thing the French did was they put a debt on Haiti and said, you got to pay, I don't know, $1 billion. It would equate to $1 billion. So for the first, I don't know, 50, 60 years, your country is going down because you're trying to come up and there are embargoes against you, goods are not coming in.
They squeezed you.
Yeah. So what would have happened if a free republic like Haiti, which was the richest colony, which was the richest piece of real estate at the time, and this is around 1800, was just allowed to continue to do their own thing with black people at the front as leaders, making decisions for the country, but also influencing the world, because Haitians influence, I mean, there's the first free republic in the Western Hemisphere, so we influence a bunch of people. I mean, Haitians influence a bunch of people. You go back to Wakanda and you go, yeah, okay, the story says a meteor came from outer space and that's what made her rich. Well, the Wakandans just went ahead, did their thing without any freaking interference, which is a very strong message.
Right.
Had there not been interference, we will never know what would have happened to a continent, the most fertile, the most rich, the biggest, the strongest. Nobody knows what the hell would have happened. So when Michael B. Jordan, Killmonger, says what he says, and for me, honestly, the movie starts, for me, as a black man, conscious man, the movie starts when Killmonger goes to Wakanda.
Right.
The other stuff for me is Marvel superhero action shit.
Right.
By the time a man enters the castle or whatever it is, and basically says, this is who I am, and says, where were y'all? We have people all over this world dying, and you had the stuff to help save them. And I'm listening to Michael B. Jordan and going, he's supposed to be the bad guy, but dude,
I got
you. I get you.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen anything like what? Like you mentioned Do the Right Thing, and that's the parallel I was trying to figure out in my mind. But Do the Right Thing wasn't, it was kind of, but not.
Not like that.
Not like that.
Not like that. Yeah, the message in Do the Right Thing, you know, you got it, but I don't think it was as strong as that. I'm sitting there, you know, of course, we probably think different things, but I'm sitting there thinking about Africa, and I'm thinking about diamonds, copper, rubber, gold. You know, I'm thinking about Patrice Lumumba. All these things are running through my mind sitting there. You know, I have never really talked to my daughter about some of these things, which I will. You know, it'll come a time where I will. But all those things are running through my mind about how rich a continent Africa is, and how everybody's got their hand in. Now China's in there taking what they can take from Africa, but the people, which is all Patrice Lumumba wanted, was the people to be able to enjoy the resources. And the people there are unable to enjoy the resources, and they still have people coming there colonizing. You know, and they mentioned something about colonizing in the Black Panther too.
Oh, I love that.
Down,
colonizer. Colonizer one. Or I love the other line. He comes in. She goes, oh, another white boy for us to fix.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, there's just little stuff we're doing.
Yes.
They like, let y'all get away with that?
Like, damn. But, you know, like, I'm just sitting there thinking about all these different things, man, you know, that are running through my head. This message seemed to be, you know, a whole lot stronger, and to see, you know, and it wasn't just black people in the theater,
right,
you know, but to see, you know, white people in the theater, I'm wondering, do they understand, you know, what's going on? You know, are they really getting it? I thought it was a great movie. Like, I'm going to see it again this weekend with my wife, and my oldest daughter wanted to see it. My oldest daughter couldn't go the night or the afternoon that my middle daughter and I went, but I'm going to take, you know, my oldest daughter and my wife to go see it again. Do it again. Do it.
What struck you about the portrayal of the black woman in the movie, now that you're taking your daughter and your wife?
I thought the black woman would seem to be stronger than most of the men. Like that one lady, I can't remember her name, but she played Tupac's mother in this last Tupac movie.
Yeah.
But she was just like this fierce warrior that was willing to do anything for the country and her people. The black woman in that movie struck me as being very strong, and how she made the one dude, you know, he took a knee. He had to take a knee, like, yo.
She made the freaking rhino take a knee.
Yeah, she made the rhino. You know, just the power that the black woman in there portrayed was just, you know, it was awesome. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again.
there are a lot of messages. And again, a lot of people have seen the movie. A lot of people are going to go see the movie. Mm-hmm. I'm going to see the movie again. But there's just, for me, there's just a 30-minute segment when Killmonger gets to Wakanda.
Yes.
To by the end of the movie, that speaks to the black experience in ways that I think a lot of people, specifically young people, because I think you think these things, but nobody ever delivers it in a way that makes sense to you.
Right.
And I think there's a 30-minute segment there where he's talking about black to black,
mm-hmm.
he's talking about black to white to black, he's talking about black to Americans,
yep.
Americans to black, Africans to African Americans.
Right.
So there's a lot of layers in there, and I hope people do go back multiple times because,
yes.
and again, it's,
you
it's,
need to. You
we need
to,
man.
You need to.
We need to.
Like, I'm pretty sure, like, now when I go back the second time, I'm going to watch it a little closer, and I'm sure there's something I missed.
Oh, man.
So now I'll be able to catch those things. So I like to go back and see movies a couple of times that are good movies because I like to catch things that I missed.
And so enjoy that. If anybody out there who hadn't seen it and he was still listening, I warned you, spoiler alert. But the whole purpose of saying that was to say, man, what I'm hoping is that it's the new Star Wars,
right.
for lack of a better term, black people. People
right.
dress up as Star Wars, kids dress up as Star Wars, and I'm hoping that this is our Star Wars.
Right.
The kids have something aspirational. I mean,
right.
I'm not saying you gotta be a superhero, go be an accountant, go be a lawyer, go be
right.
whatever is
right.
practical out there. But just, I mean, you know what this felt like as a kid, man.
Right.
That's a superhero that looks like me, at least.
Yeah.
Representationally, it's cool to have that out there.
Yeah,
it's,
we don't need to be Madea representing Madea.
Oh, that's another.
I need to get that up out of here.
I don't even want to go down that road.
You
but
get that up out of here.
But just, all I gotta say, folks, is Wakanda forever.
Wakanda.
And from a man, Chucky Brown, I appreciate you coming through, man.
Well, thank you for having me.
I reached out this morning. I'm like, damn, this is wrong. I've been hollering at my man this morning.
Nah,
there's no way he's going to do this, but I appreciate you coming. I really wanted to talk to you about, you know, what we started talking about this morning with gun violence. It's unfortunate what happens, and it's even more unfortunate. This is with 7 cases so far, and it's only the middle of February. This is going to happen again.
Yeah.
And so we heard you talk about that. We also heard you talk about NBA. Big ups to my man, James Harden. I'm calling it too, man. Houston wins the NBA title.
Yep.
I put money on it. Anybody wants to holler at me, come holler at me. I think Houston's going to do it. As former NCAA athletes, there's a lot that can be changed about the NCAA. It's a good thing going on. I got an education because of the NCAA.
Yep.
So did you.
Yep.
But there are things that can be changed.
Yep.
And it's actually one of the central points of the movie Black Panther. There's a scene in the beginning where Black Panther comes off a plane and his sister comes up to him and says, you know, let me get those beads that you use to neutralize the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, why? They worked fine. And she says, just because something works
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean it can't be improved.
That's right.
So,
yep.
again, America's wonderful. For a lot of people, it's working. But just because it works
mm-hmm.
don't mean it can't be improved. Just
That's
because
right.
the NBA is working right now don't mean it can't be improved. Cleveland improved. Houston improved, Golden State improved, NCAA, y'all need to do better, y'all
yes.
need to improve,
yes.
and as a country, we need to improve and get better. Just because it works now, don't mean it can't be improved. I know Mr. Brown is a man who's constantly striving for improvement, I see that, I hear that, I read that on Facebook. I'm trying to do this through my podcast here, and I hope that folks out there listening, that y'all continue to strive for that again. Just because it's good right now. Don't mean it can't improve. So
That's right.
go out there, improve your situation, whatever it may be, and come back to Ubuntu Radio next time.
All right, my man.
Time to dream. Peace of mind's a delightful thing. This is the life of kings. And we got it. Yes, sir. Hey, king.
Yo, people be confused how I move with the utmost respect, and yet I get my due.
If you like what you just heard and want to hear more content, be sure to subscribe to Ubuntu Radio on Podomatic, on iTunes, wherever you see us on social media.
Blessings and say my dreams out loud when I wake up. The voice up inside of my head telling them, let's get on the day and out of this bed. Kiss my mother, gave my daughter.
Engage with us. Write comments, ask questions, and certainly spread the link throughout your social networks so we can keep building this.
To the vinyl though, shit, take some time to dream. Peace of mind's a delightful thing. This is the life of kings. Take a long
big critique. Now some consider me a tyrant, cause I'd rather push charities dodging them sirens. Trump beating like violence, searching for me a vibrant thing.